Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi taala wabarakatuh. Salam Jumaat, selamat pagi. Saya Syahib Amin, seorang ayah yang ada 5 orang anak, dan saya daripada syukran.com ingin memperkenalkan satu program barulah saya namakan Dilema Ayah, di mana saya nak interview beberapa ayah yang saya rasa boleh jadi contoh untuk diri saya. Saya nak belajar pasal saya ada anak kecil. Jadi saya nak standby bila anak-anak dah besar tu, what can we expect? So I hope that I'm going to it's a journey for me and it's a journey for you too. Dan untuk yang pertama ni, saya nak introduce saya panggil abang Abdul Aziz Ghulam. Dia seorang engineer. Dia ada 6 orang anak. Daripada 17 sampai 30 plus lah, dah 3 yang dah kahwin. Jadi come along, kita sama-sama kita belajar. Dan di Instagram juga ada, saya ada Instagram saya tak nak connect to Facebook very hard. Jadi what from the Instagram, you see my live interview with him from the behind the scene lah. So insyaAllah kita akan mulakan. Saya nak introduce Encik Abdul Aziz Ghulam. Assalamualaikum bang.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Okay, you can hear my voice clearly, eh?
Yes, yes, loud and clear. You can hear me?
Alhamdulillah, yes. Bagaimana okay. Orang dekat Instagram, dekat Facebook boleh dengar suara clear? Kalau boleh, anda boleh komen. So, kita live in a few platform. Kita ada dekat Facebook, ada dekat Instagram, dengan YouTube. Dekat my personal account juga, Syahib. The objective bang, yes, you know, I dah share tadi, eh. Kira kita kenal pun very brief, eh. Kita berkenalan time tu dekat Masjid Darurahman, one of the talk. And it's about parenting, kan, tak silap kan?
InsyaAllah, that's right.
Yeah. And then after that kita berbual, dan okay, yeah, I mean, kita manusia, we have our flaws lah, eh. But somehow our downfall ataupun kita nampak macam sukses, tapi kita tak tahu what's going on behind, kan. For yourself, macam you have 6 children, 17 to 30 apa tadi?
31.
3 dah kahwin. Yeah.
3 dah kahwin.
So, but you when you share dekat Darul Aman hari tu pun, some of your things that you do consistently, dan juga I want to dig deeper lah, macam is there anything that you think that you might do better? Ada tak from your experience?
Do better. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum kepada semua, eh. Thank you lah, Brother Syihab, for bringing us into the picture. Yeah. Something to do better. You start off with a tough question. Yeah. I get there is a lot. There is a lot that you can do better. I get there were times when, you know, as a working dad lah, you know, you just are not there for the kids because kadang-kadang, in the nature of my work, we have to work late into the night pasal nak kerja deadline dan sebagainya. So those are the times when maybe, you know, things like pending story
so there's no choice. I mean, again, there's no choice lah, tapi itu kan tanggungjawab sebagai seorang ayah. You correct. Have to, kalau you always at home, macam okay, what's your routine yang dulu, yeah. Dulunya routine,
but I guess the ideal routine dululah bila we try to implement was that you try to clear your weekends for your kids. Okay. You try to get back early, you know, to at least spend some time in the evening with them. But the reality is that a lot of times evenings I'm still not home yet lah. Jadi kalau balik pun malam, okay. But the thing is we are quite flexible lah dari segi bedtime dan sebagainya. So ada quite often jugalah when I come back in the evening, you know, the one I remember is when I come back, I bring back, you know, all my plans, you know, the big drawings, and my kids are still awake waiting. So that's a good feeling lah, you know.
Bila you balik rumah, then they are waiting for you, eh?
They are waiting. Yes.
That's the happiest moment, eh? You rindu tak time tu? Sekarang you balik. Sekarang you balik. Ah, cucu dah tunggu ke macam mana?
Sekarang oh, cucu dekat jauh, cucu kat Johor Cukang. Yeah, but I think it's good. If you say it's something that I can do better, would be that lah. I would suggest, even if you're working, you try to manage your time better. We have to be there lah. Bottom line is every day you have to be there lah. Because sometimes you know you do need that little bit of discipline, you know, bit of kira-kira macam referee jugalah. Kalau satu hari dengan mak, then after dia kata oh ini itu ini,
yeah.
Then that's one of the things I think we could have done better, or I could have done better as a working there lah.
So why do you think that being present at home, macam you cakap, you try to manage well so that balik rumah you can do the punya the routine, the storytelling, tidur dengan anak, talking to them. So why do you think that's important?
Yeah, I guess the key thing is that it's basically, you know, if you're going to lead your family, I think the best way to lead is leadership by example lah. Jadi kalau kita nak, for example lah, kalau kita nak suruh budak tu solat but we are never around, they do not see us praying, then it's a bit difficult lah. You know, you cannot just have the mother chasing them, pergi solat. So if you can come back in time, kita solat jemaah, then we make it into part of the family routine, that sedikit sebanyak akan help shape their values lah. That's what we hope lah. And alhamdulillah lah, it was good to hear that, you know, when my son got married, then he was saying, oh, I now lead the subuh prayers. So we have our own joke lah, you know, surah mana. kadang lah, some of us we don't hafal that many surah, so you know. Yeah. But it's good to hear. But it's so a work in progress.
You nampak your children yang sekarang ni, because of what you have done in the past, they are taking that as an example to lead their family, their own family, eh?
InsyaAllah lah. I hope that is the case lah. At the end of the day, Allah alam lah kan. Because there are, you know, enough stories from the Quran where, you know, bapa is Nabi, but the anak maybe tak turut and all that. And those are the kind of stories sometimes, kecil-kecil pun kita bilang diorang. Kita kata, you know, even if I do this, I ask you to do this and all that, but if you don't follow, then you kasih lah contoh-contoh. Whether that has an effect on them or not, Allah alam bisawab. You know, but it's you know, we try to make it come alive lah. Because one of the things I find is that the Quran is sometimes kita punya community kita ritualize lah. Jadi kita buat, you know, kita nak baca. Tapi padahal it's a manual actually. As a father, it's a manual also. Ada the guidelines inside situ and all that. Selain dari buku-buku yang khusus kan, yang ditulis oleh pengarang semua. At the end, I tried to do that lah. I tried to, because along the way, concurrently, we were also going for classes and all that. So I suppose the awareness was a bit more there lah. We wanted to bring up good Muslim kids lah. You know, we thought we can impart the values by, you know, but I mean that is the way Allah teaches us, right? By giving examples, stories and all that. So hopefully they also pass on to their children lah.
Yeah, insyaAllah, insyaAllah.
InsyaAllah.
In terms of Quran, you do regular reading together? Macam mana?
Be frank, we try lah, but not as successful. Only Ramadan aja successful. Ramadan, I think for the last few years, we've managed to get that going. But now when they're young, like I said, like time was a premium.
Yeah.
So hardly had time to, you know, really sit down and do regular. We tried to get regular classes going towards the later part lah. Maybe in our 40s and all that. We realized that, you know, for us, we went for classes. For them, they went for weekend madrasah. But that was it, is it? Yeah. So we wanted to reinforce that by having a regular tazkirah lah. We don't do tilawat per se, But we do read the short verses. So either we, you know, the tazkira will be either we try to do a hafalan of hadis, or the short hadith short surahs we kita buat lah. But not as often as we should lah. I guess that's another area for improvement lah. Insyaallah.
Yeah. In terms of, for example, if you let's say macam belajar Quran, reading the Quran, if you can choose between reading the Quran macam okay tilawah, bacaan bagus ataupun macam good enough dah boleh baca okay, tapi you understand, you macam you tadabbur ataupun you embody ataupun apply, which one actually you focus on? Kalau say children tak nak hafal tapi macam nak faham aja, okay tak? I mean what do you think between that?
Yeah, so for me it's always about the understanding lah, rather than the, you know, that because there are you know hadith and all, the difference between the abid and the alim, and the alim is you know is derajatnya ditinggikan and also, you know, because you the abid is good, the abid the ibadah dia kuat, dia buat dan sebagainya, but the alim you know, he understands why he's doing it and the reason for doing it. And also, I guess, you know, our family also, we always place the emphasis is on education, ilmu, you know, and maybe we're not so strong on the ibadah part lah. Jadi kalau dah minimum dah cukup lah. So it does show, I suppose. Maybe, you know, when you go for gathering, some of the other brothers, diorang punya children baca, Masya Allah, even better than the adults. Yeah. And also, you know, it's...
In terms of education, how what's your level of discipline like? Macam, maybe your wife boleh share juga, macam balik rumah check everything, ada expectation, marah, atau macam mana? What do you think?
Okay, this one I think I got to call in my wife if you don't mind. So bila kita cakap education, terus terang cakap it's she's more versed in what they do, and she does a lot on the daily stuff. So if you're talking about the daily stuff, I mean we as working dads, we're not there lah, you know, and my wife made the decision to stop work, to you know, to help look after the kids, I'm not the kind who often say this, but I say now life can, so I say thank you very much to my wife. she says sometimes tak begitu emo lah, jadi you know kita lelaki kan, jadi you know I really appreciate. I might not have said it that much, you know, over the past 30 plus years, but I really do appreciate the fact that she could make it work lah, you know. So you're a partnership, you start a family, everyone's got to be clear lah what's your role. So I saw my role as go out there, you know, work as hard as I can, and then, you know, start a kitanya family. But there were times when the projects tak masuk, so she pitched in, you know, she did tuition, help support the family and all that, and of course she's got a lot of adik brade, so they were always good sources of help, financial or otherwise. So inshallah lah, she's played a very vital role. So if you talk about education, then it's her lah. I mean, one of the things I remember about her is that we do not reward results. This one I remember lah. Kita reward effort. Jadi sebelum result keluar pun, I remember she will bring the kids out, you know, you know, belikan buku ke apa, is to reward the effort. So the results itself was secondary to us lah. But alhamdulillah, some of the kids did pretty well. My eldest daughter, until now people say they remember her. So so my wife was just saying, oh, everybody remembers the, you know, her, but not the mother who taught her.
What? Maybe, Maybe you boleh share sikit your children punya accomplishment. Maybe it's just for kita punya motivation lah. So,
okay.
So mana-mana yang you rasa yang alhamdulillah lah.
InsyaAllah. So I would highlight two lah. I mean this is not to I would highlight two lah. You know, so my eldest her name is Dina. So she did very well for her O levels. So she was like the top madrasah student lah for the O levels. She got lots of A's lah. I can't remember how many A's. She got seven A's. Seven A1s and two A2s. So we were very proud of her. But I was even more proud madrasah. The fact that
madrasah.
Tapi she did the O level lah. Diorang kan buat dua-dua kan subject. For the O level, she was studying at the madrasah. But despite all the challenges, she managed to get seven A1s and two A2s. So until now, some of people still remember. So, I'm even more proud of the fact that I think when she was very young already, she managed to hafal the whole Quran. Wow. So she was featured as the tafiz lah. But now, of course, dah lupa ingat lah. Now she's still. I have to credit her lah. She's a very tough girl lah. So she's the one who has who has started the family and we got three grandchildren lah. She got three kids lah.
I just nak termasuk kira Dina at what age you think dia dah mula cari sendiri? Faham? Maksudnya macam at what age macam you dah primary school kan kira normal lah, nak kena suruh that kind of thing kan. Tapi macam between boys dengan girls maybe different, but at what age you nampak macam dia cari sendiri, dia pergi belajar sendiri ke, I don't know lah, macam ada tak that part?
She's very early lah. She became what we call independent learner. Very very early. She's like Energizer Bunny lah. She just goes on and on. So I don't know. Up mental lah. It's somehow at a very young age she told herself that she wants to do this, and she pushed her. We never push her to to get good grades and all that, but she pushed herself lah. So I noticed with the girls in general, we didn't really have to push in terms of their education. I think part of it is madrasah education, because in madrasah they put that sense of
pentingnya ilmu
of doing it yourself, because in terms of resources they are pretty short. So I think that part, that kind of environment also help to bentuk dia punya thinking lah,
Early tu macam mana? Early tu kira
dah primary school tadi. She's primary school already. I think it was either her or the second girl who very early told me, "Baba, this one it's okay. I will do myself." Because I told you right that time dekat Darahmat, I was supposed to help them with the Bahasa Arab. So and my way of Bahasa Arab was if I don't understand the word, I say, "Okay, come, let's go back. We have a dictionary lah. So kita cari the root word and all that." So it took a bit of time lah, So I think about primary 2 or what, one of that, I can't remember it was her or Nadia, said, "It's okay, Baba, I will do this myself." And she did herself lah. Literally, she basically lifted herself. So that was Dina. The others, do I continue with Nadia is now a doctor in Australia. She's working in Australia. But before Nadia, because Nadia is the third child, I would say Shakir also, we are very proud of him. He's married, started a family. He's working with me now as an engineer. Now senior engineer lah. He's been with me long enough. We made him senior engineer, and yeah, he's the one. He's the one who, how shall we say, train us a lot lah, to be patient, yeah, to be. He's the one who challenge us lah. Kalau kat sekolah, kalau kena panggil cikgu, the girls, ni semua tak ada, semua baik, semua tak ada masalah. Kalau kita pergi dengan dia, kita lah, kita will be. And he's got potential lah. He's always got potential, but somehow he doesn't apply himself. But alhamdulillah lah, he's. I think he's got it settled now. So hopefully, you know, he have his own kids and then sikit sebanyak lah, you know, he can train.
All the girls madrasah, is it?
Yeah, that was our so-called strategy. The girls we put in madrasah. I mean, a key reason is of course the hijab thingy. You know, another reason was the basically the environment lah. We wanted you know, Islamic environment kind of thing. But not a warning, but do understand, for those parents who want to send their children to madrasah, it is challenging. They are doing double the workload of a normal student. Yeah. Even though now they've tried to cut down the subjects, tapi memang dia punya workload tu heavy lah. So, you know, sometimes the parents want the children to go to madrasah, but the child might not be able to cope or doesn't quite see the benefits and all. So yeah, that one got to be a bit you got to be aware lah, inshallah.
Do you have any example yang anak perempuan dia sekolah national school, but in terms of extracurriculum Islamic wise, dia macam can go lah, maknanya macam on par, not on par madrasah, tapi macam alhamdulillah akhlak bagus, pakai hijab, hafal Quran ke, ataupun I don't know lah, ada tak example yang you can share? Is it not possible?
I think it's possible. I mean, okay lah, so now we enter a bit of a controversial area, because after she did very well for her O levels, Dina said, you know, she wants to go to college.
Okay.
So she applied to college. She got into college. So she tried to, you know, still maintain her hijab and all. She wore a hoodie and long socks and, you know, a long sleeve and all that. It went okay for the 1 or 2 months, and eh? 1 or 2 months, and then unfortunately it was noticed. It was brought to the authorities' notice. The principal was okay, you know. The principal of that college was okay in the first 2 months, but once it was brought up to the higher authorities, the instruction was sent down. Or, you know, basically to stop her. Then we had to go in and then discuss, and then she had to wear a bandana, smaller kind of thing, you know. And that caused a lot of controversy, especially among our brothers and sisters, because because kita semua think that this is very important. But to me also important is because she wants to do science, and at the madrasa currently maybe different now, but at that time maybe not so strong in the sciences. And to us, you know, look, national school is we pay taxes also, so we should, you know, we should avail of the resources, and why should we not be there? You see,
understand.
So 2 years, but if you ask her now, she says it was very tough lah, because she had to, you know, so called do things which, you know, 10 years she's been told this is a requirement, but she had to do that. But alhamdulillah, after that she went on to uni, and she's still wearing the hijab, and now she's out doing some of this work lah.
Our work. It's very challenging during that time.
But
imagine.
So it's a fine line to balance. I mean, we don't want to be constantly seen as the community yang nak meminta minta ini minta itu minta special right, but at the same time we do have our rights, you know, we have our right to practice our religion and you know, even though you're a secular school, but I still have a right to practice my religion, so you know, and we do need people to come up and look, you know, and sooner or later lah, inshallah.
Wow.
Okay, my wife wants to add something to what I said. Oh, you don't mind?
Can boleh, boleh. Boleh, boleh. Silakan, okay. Silakan.
Siapa tu?
Keluarkan sikit lah suara.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamualaikum, everybody.
Waalaikumsalam.
Just something to add lah. I mean, when she went to college at that point in time, it was very tough for her. But she learned a lot of things there. But at the same time, she was also indirectly doing a lot of da'wah by the fact that she was in that school, because she was in, we would say, one of the top colleges in Singapore, where some of them actually probably didn't ever have a Malay Muslim friend, you know?
Yeah.
So when she was in that class, a lot of them actually frankly just asked her, oh, why do you always have to pray 5 times a day? Why are you doing this? Why do you do that? At the initial stages, so there was a lot of questions lah. But as they learn, surprisingly, as they learn, these people actually became really her good friends, you know, to the extent that at one stage when, because during PE, she would put on her school t-shirt over like a long sleeve t-shirt and all that. So when she was then told that she cannot do that anymore, the whole class actually rallied around her, and even the teachers were saying, okay, we'll write a letter to say that it doesn't have any impact on them or the school. So they should allow her to continue doing that.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. And also like when, because they know that when my daughter is at the school gate, she will then take off her juba.
Mm-mm.
She will take off her juba and she'll take off her tudung only at the school gate. But when she leaves the school, because she will put it in her bag. And then when she leaves the school, they will actually open up an umbrella at the bus stop to shelter her while she put on her juba in her tudung.
MashaAllah.
Yeah. I remember that, yeah. So until now, those girls are still good friends with her. And, you know, invite for the wedding and all that, go for their wedding. Yeah, and then, and these are non-Malays lah, you know.
Yeah.
So it's
The fact that the friends rally, the friends help, support, it's like really heartwarming. Macam naik blue room. MashaAllah.
Yeah. Inshallah, it was really good to, it was heartening lah, because you know, when we heard that, you know, you have to do this, have to do that, because rules are rules, yada yada yada, and you know, actually, you know, rules are meant for us to live together lah, you know, so that we tak porak-poranda kan. And if your rules are just going to, you know, do nothing but just cause tension and cause unhappiness, that's not a good rule lah. But anyway, my wife wants to add another thing, you don't mind?
Boleh, silakan. Bismillah.
And another thing is, because my daughter, alhamdulillah, is a very honest person. So much so that in the 2 years that she was there, the whole class knows that if they want the truth about anything, they will come to her. They will just ask her and she'll tell them the truth. So nobody in the class will lie to another friend about anything, because they will just come to her and she'll tell the truth. And even the teachers, when I go for their parent-teacher meeting and all that, the best compliment lah I hear was from one of the teachers who told me that she has never met, in all her years of teaching, she has never met a student who is as honest, as respectful, and very trustworthy, like my daughter. Mm-hmm. So to me, that is an ambassador for Islam, you see? Because everybody knew she the way she dressed and all that, that she was from a madrasa. So that was, to me, like a... Yeah, despite the fact that she had to take off her tudung when she's in school and all that, but she was also doing da'wah.
Yeah, yeah. Alhamdulillah. I nak reverse engineer eh. Nak reverse engineer the apa your first daughter ni eh. Do you as a parent eh, you push her to do that ataupun macam dengan sendirinya?
No, well, the thing is that once they're older, basically decisions is they want to do it lah, you know. They want to do it and you know, we only push when they are slacking off.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the case of my girls, they don't slack off. So there was really no need to push as in, you know, yeah. Nak kena, you know, kasi threats atau, you know, nak kena induce ke apa. So they good in that sense lah. I mean, they, you know, out of six, so that's three taken care of. I mean, to be fair, the boys is different. Different way of handling and all that. All different. I mean, that's why we. I don't know how much time we have, but everyone has a different story. Everyone, I think we can share. You know, some lessons in parenting. Not that
we talk about boys. Maybe we talk about boys since I sekarang ni four boys. Sekarang ni baru lahir one girl.
Okay.
I four boys. I four boys. Primary 5, primary 2, K, right. K1 dengan 3 years old. So semua macam you can imagine. I don't know you can imagine tak lah, tapi kecoh lah kan. Ada banyak threat, ada banyak ada banyak ni.
Yeah.
But I tak nampak my future. I don't know what's my children going to be kan. For your kids eh, the boys eh, you mention a bit kira boys a bit challenging nak kena push semua. Tapi in the end eh, macam mana? Is it, macam maybe your wife pun boleh share juga macam bila dekat at one point yang you think what you do at that point of time macam okay, this is worth it lah. Macam I don't know.
There's a couple of incidences I suppose we share because, you know, I don't think we got time to relate all their whole life. Well, for the first one, Shakir was there, like, you know, his I guess his family dynamics also. So when the sister is so driven, he's got ability, but he's not so driven. So we got to constantly tell him, you know, to get on because that's a Singapore system, lah, and he's going to secular school, kan? We didn't send to madrasa. So he's the kind that, you know, sometimes primary school balik, they dapat 100 upon 100. I think Shakir, right, that one?
Yeah.
He got 100 upon 100 for maths at primary 6. And we said, okay lah, you know, we made a day lah. This boy looks like he's finally, his battery has been switched on. But then go secondary school, lagi banyak main. But I think what's, I suppose for the boys, it's more, I think we really have to be there lah, as the dads, because we have to be the example. Now whether they follow or not is different, you know. That one we have to leave to God lah, you know, but you have to be the example, especially to the boys. So I try to be the example, you know, like I said lah, we try to bring up the stories in the Quran and all that. So I think it worked with some.
Yeah.
Like my second one, okay, he's apparently is motivated enough. So again, like the sisters, we don't need to push him. So he did well enough, get into the GEP program. We never push, we never ask him to go for GEP or what. They say, oh, your son was selected to go for the test. He went for the test. He went in. So he had to transfer school. He was actually just the nearby school. He had to transfer to one of those GEP schools. Then from there he went to the usual school, my alma mater. I'm not sure, he's now walking around, so I'm relating him. Well, he's still here, he's working from home, so he graduated already. He's doing all this digital analytics stuff, data analytics stuff. Interesting story from with him was when we were young, this one was organized by Nailul Hafiz lah. He tried, we were the like the guinea pigs like that lah for a program. I don't know whether you heard of it, it's called Sons and Dads. So he uses the Sons and Dads program we were I think we were the first one to go. So he managed to organize this but it's very compact, like it's a 2-day, 1-night, was that again? 2-day, 1-night program ever at university dekat dekat Skudai situ lah. I mean dekat Malaysia situ.
UTM.
I can't remember what. So UTM or something.
UTM.
So he somehow got some to there. It was quite interesting. But they packed the program very tight. I suppose the key thing there was so my son was there was one part where we had to go into a dark patch lah. They basically it's like walk in the night kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's on his own initiative. He was giving us instructions. So this is a boy who has not been into NS or what lah. So bila you jalan dekat malam kan in the dark, you are the first person. If you see an obstacle and all that, you just echo off, is it? So when you echo off in the army kita belajar lah, tapi this guy did not. So he just echoed off automatically. And yeah lah, save a lot of us further back from stumbling and falling into lubang and all that lah. So I thought that was
very good.
Okay, initiative. Okay, this is he uses his thought processes lah.
Yeah. So the sons and dad punya program is a compact program organized by Brother Nailul dekat UTM. Yang you cakap tu kira the sons is anak seorang-seorang eh. Dia kira macam yang jalan malam tu trekking tu. Kira the father tak ikut ke macam mana?
Yeah, sama-sama juga. I brought two sons. The younger two. But we walk as a group lah. That means the dad and so it's basically like a bonding session lah, So the dad also will have to do what the son do. But some of the kids are pretty young. Some of course are older. But the intent was to, I think, was more because he also does this kind of training and all that kind. So I think that was the he was basically using us to test the course lah, so to speak. Yeah. So it was quite interesting.
Is it successful? Maksudnya, is it achieved the objective, the course? Kira ada some impact?
I think it's actually very important that we do these kind of things together because one of the positive feedback from my son was that we should do this more at the end of it the highlight was we had to climb up the hill. There's a hill there lah. I can't remember Gunung Pulai or what lah, it's one of those so we were up there after having gone through the so-called tough course lah, go through obstacle, jalan naik bukit. So after that, at the end of it, got to charge up the hill. So camping, they say, we should do more of this. Camping, it's basically camping overnight. Yeah, and then he threw in about having to cook for ourselves.
Orang rumah tak ikut lah. Kira the mother
orang rumah tak. This one is strictly sons and dads ni. Orang rumah ikut habis lah. game over nanti.
I nak shift down sikit. I nak go back to the basics. Some of us parents kita ada anak-anak yang kecil eh. For example, for myself lah. Kadang-kadang macam for your case eh. Maybe your wife kalau boleh share juga. Kalau anak-anak tu dia tak buat apa yang kita suruh. Suruh solat tak nak. Suruh apa tidur tak nak tidur. If you have experience, maybe you can share what apa yang you buat. Kalau tak ada, maybe you boleh advise macam mana. Kalau macam nak, dia tak nak buat apa kita suruh lah. Ni kira kita let's say primary school. Primary 4 or 5.
Primary school lah. Okay, so this one, just as I said in Darul Aman lah, this goes into sensitive area lah, shall we say.
Kenapa?
Because sekarang, especially I see you're recording lah, so. So the key is this. It's not that kita nak pukul, but you have to have a system. If you don't do this and all that, or you do something wrong, then you will have to be punished lah. Okay. So it just takes what form of the punishment. That's why my elder son, if you ask him now, he exaggerates to me lah. Mm-hmm. And he says, all he remembers of growing up was me rotan dia. So I say, no, I disagree. There are many times when kita pergi camping, kita buat ini dan sebagainya kan. Yeah. But he said, no, lah, he's joking. So I hope he is joking, lah. But the fact is that, yeah, we last time do mete out punishment. But never on the girls, lah. Somehow the girls never misbehave or what, lah. So only the boys.
Mete out punishment, apa dia? Tak apa dia clear sangat. Mete out punishment. Mete out.
Okay, so kita buat gini. Dia kadang-kadang bila budak tu tak nak buat, you know, like, kalau kita dah marah, then you basically sort of lose control of the situation.
Oh.
Only my husband lose control lah.
No. Disclaimer. ada disclaimer. No lah, I mean you. But most of the time, what we do is that, okay, you know, we will. Then it becomes more like a trial and then stay away the meeting out or the punishment lah.
Okay.
So we can say, okay, look, you did this, that's not right. What have you to say for yourself? And of course, before we meet out the punishment, we always, my most famous statement is, with a straight face, I say, this hurts me more than it hurts you.
Tanya sikit about the system. Kira you cakap you need to have a system. Do you think as a parent, the system ataupun routine ataupun timetable ataupun jadual, is it really important? Is it important? Pasal do you see any dynamic family yang tak ada system, tak ada routine and then everything not in order? Ataupun macam mana? What do you think?
Okay, but when you say routine, you saying a system of reward and punishment, or you saying routine as in, let's say, certain times we tidur, certain time belajar dan sebagainya?
Yes.
Okay, for us, frankly, we do not have a routine. We do not actually tell them, okay, sekarang semua orang belajar, and you know, they all sit at the table and belajar. Kita tak buat gitu.
Okay.
Neither do we tell them, okay, look, you know, now is 8 o'clock. All of you have to sleep. We didn't do that lah, because I guess that we're quite relaxed lah. About that, we're quite relaxed, because I know some feel that, you know, when you put the routine, you put the structure, it helps them with the discipline. Maybe that's what we are suffering now lah. Until now, my boys are having problem not bangun.
Okay.
Can I just?
Okay, my wife wants to add, you don't mind?
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm at home, right? So I'm one who's more involved in the children punya so-called education. Before they start going to school, that means when they are young, when they are younger, yes, I do have a routine. Because children, for very young kids, they thrive on a routine where they know what to expect, what to do. So like, you know, okay, this time is breakfast. Okay, after breakfast is time, you know. After playtime, kita pack up and all that, then kita mandi. So that kind of routine, yes, I do have that. My husband doesn't know because he's not around. So like, okay, after a certain time, okay, now it's reading time. So all this kind of stuff is in our daily routine. Yes, we do have that.
Okay.
And because of that, they know what to expect. So making them read a book, or when it's Quran time, or, you know, not Quran, sorry, during the earlier stages would be their Iqra time. They know what to expect. In fact, sometimes they will look forward to it because they already know there is a routine. So for kids who are below 7 years old, I say, yes, have a routine.
Mm. Mm-mm.
Have a routine because it's a lot easier for you to manage them, and it's a lot easier for you to for them also to know what to expect.
That's why the joke we have is that one day we never know how the kids all started talking, how reading and all that. So is that the funny? You can talk. You can read. But like I said, I mean that's the daily work done by my wife. So again, I record my appreciation. If not, my children semua tak tahu baca, tak tahu. So there you have it. So that was a routine for the at the younger age. Now I remember lah, that she tells me that, you know, she plays games with them. So, but she does it in a more, I think, what do you call it, Montessori kind of way lah. Learning through play. Not Montessori.
Yeah.
It's that there's a lot, the reading, the Iqra and all that, I teach them all through play lah. So that's the reason why now when you ask them, they say, oh, I just know how to read. They can't remember how they read because to them they were playing. But actually, they were learning.
So that's an important point, I think. You learn through play.
Yes, it becomes more enjoyable.
Yeah. Learning through play was our approach, lah. You know, we didn't want to make it seem like, you know, it's you have been drilled, or you know, you every day you got to sit down here. Okay, this is it. Then I think they will not like it, lah. But when it becomes play, then you know, to them it's just playing, is it? But at the same time, they are learning. Like for example, I mean, she made cards. You know, she made cards with the abjad, the huruf, and all. And then she'll throw the cards, and then the kids will run around trying to look for the R, the ba, whatever. And I mean, it's like play. You know, you're just racing with your siblings and who gets the first one. But at the same time, they learn to recognize the stuff, lah. So yeah, okay, that was a good addition. Play. Thank you.
Learn to play is a very important methodology, eh? But I want to follow up on your wife's new question. You put it the routine, you put like timetable, tampal dekat wall ke, ataupun macam everyday cakap, then dah automatic. I mean, dah bukan automatic, tapi macam they know what to expect. Ah, do you have something tampal atau macam mana?
No, at a very young age, the kids cannot read, so either timetable on the wall phone is no use for them. It's more like a reference for me lah. But I have it out here in my, and I don't really print out anything. It's just it's just something which I have mentally out in my mind lah, that okay, this is what I do and all that. Of course, sometimes you know, certain days you need to go and do groceries and all that, so those things that happen lah. Then they will know. But you know, whenever we're home, then they will know lah. And one thing, we restricted the TV time for the kids.
Oh, you restrict the TV time. So maknanya ada time for TV lah. Maknanya you have a limit ke macam mana?
Only certain programs, only cartoons, cartoons at the weekend or something like that.
When the kids were younger, myself and my husband also, we try not to watch TV too much or so lah. Only when the kids are asleep, then maybe we watch lah. Yes, but we try not to watch too much. So the kids, the kind of programs that they can watch was like, maybe like a cartoon, because I remember Teletubbies, that kind of stuff. Yes. You cannot, for us at least, we feel that we cannot totally cut them off from totally no TV and all this kind of stuff, because, you know, when they interact with the other kids, when they go to school and the kids talk about it and they don't know anything, then they will feel like an outcast, you see. They will feel like, how come people are talking about it? I don't know. So, So we do allow them to watch things like cartoons, but it's a very limited time that they are allowed to do it. So once they start learning how to read, I think by the time the kids are about, when they're about K1, like that, most of my kids can read really. So they will actually rush when we get the newspapers, because we order newspaper every day. They actually rush and they will look through, because I'll tell them they can only watch one program. So look through and then they say, okay, this time we want to watch this cartoon. They will actually do that. So they know they're given certain leeway, but at the same time, they know also there are boundaries to it. That means there's a limitation to how much they can watch. And they learn to make choices. There might be five, six programs that they like, but they learn to make choices. And among them, they will discuss. They say, okay, this one we want to do. So these are all the kind of teaching little stuff that you teach the kids.
Oh, inshallah.
To learn to be independent, to learn to think, to learn to make choices, you know. These are all the stuff which happened while my husband was at work.
Inshallah. Thank you very much for the sharing. I nak share juga yang I ada terbaca buku ni, tapi tak baca full lah. But yalah, ini just for people yang tengah tengok Playful Parenting. Dia boleh, dia ada methodology of how to everything is through play, but it's very hard. It's very hard to follow juga. Macam sometimes kita tengah marah, macam kita nak play time marah. Macam tu tengah kita nak disiplin, yeah. Macam kita tak boleh. Yeah. So yalah. Alhamdulillah. I think I don't want to drag, but maybe I want to kacau your time, your routines, your work. Sure. So alhamdulillah. Is there anything that you want to add, brother Abdul Aziz?
I guess the one thing that my wife wants to add something. I told you already, right? She's this is a two man interview. So she wants to add something. Yeah. You don't mind, eh?
Boleh, no problem.
Okay, this is the most important value system that you must inculcate in your kids at home.
Okay.
No one should show disrespect to the parents. So it is something myself and
Do not disrespect your parents.
So it is something which my husband and I, we decided a long time ago lah. Even if we don't agree with each other, we try not to fight in front of the kids. Mm. And I don't disrespect him, and he doesn't disrespect me. And if any of the kids, you know, kids, sometimes they do not know, right? They are boundary. So sometimes they might say certain things which is not nice. Then my husband, if they say it about me, my husband will come in and say, don't be rude to your mom. If they say it about my husband, I'll say the same thing. So that means the kids know that, you know, to me, that is the most important value that you must have in the family. So they will show respect for the parents, no matter what. And and because they see also the parents respecting each other, they will also emulate lah. So you cannot just you cannot just tell your kids don't disrespect your mom, and then lepas tu the husband marah the wife or call the wife bodoh or you disrespectful towards the wife. So then it will become like macam
contradict lah,
not walking the talk, you see.
Yes. Okay. InsyaAllah. Yeah, betul lah.
I guess if I can just end off, because what happened was dekat Darahman, I didn't manage to share the 3 points. I think that will be ran out of time. So if you don't mind, I because the topic is the same kan, under the parenting dan sebagainya. Jadi dikatakan the soalan ada 3 nasihat yang utama lah. So for me, the first one we thought will be pilih pasangan yang kongsi visi yang sama. Jadi, but kalau pasangan dah dipilih, then you have to kongsi visi yang sama lah. Yeah, you can't change the pasangan kan. Jadi, that's one. And part of doing that is you actually have a yearly goal setting. Jadi, this is something we tried to, when the kids get older, we do yearly goal setting lah. So that they, we again try to get them to be people with objectives lah. Kalau tidak satu tahun go by and they say, what have I done? What have I achieved? So there were times when you say, okay, look, this year everybody will focus on helping so and so to clear his, O levels. Okay, everybody will take some of his chores and all that. Yeah, so that kind of thing, as a family, we set family goals, we set individual goals. So that I think is important. Yang kedua adalah kita bergabung dengan rakan-rakan yang kongsi visi yang sama. Jadi kita boleh dapat laksanakan program-program pembangunan lah. So this one I believe so this is a shout out to this group here. If you can see. Ini Samra, Samra group dekat sini. If you can see mana t-shirt. Sini. this is Samra group. Samra group, you can Google that and maybe we still welcome members. I believe it's called a Samra family group, and we try to do family centric activities. Inshallah, I think Brother Naidu will share more about that if you ask him about it. And lastly is just remember that every child is unique, every child is different. Jadi kita mungkin adakan program yang sama, kita put the child through the same program or datang ke dia punya adik, tapi the result will be different. So we got to be flexible lah, right? Kalau kita tengok cara macam gini tak jalan, we try some other methods, because that bringing up children is not fixed in stone. There's not just one way. There are many ways lah. So just, you know, bila like you know, especially people like us, right? We got many children. I think you will learn that each child is different lah.
Yeah.
Jadi kita nak kena tune lah. We as parents got to tune a bit lah, you know, flexible sikit, tukar. Some kids very difficult to get into routine. Jadi you mungkin find other ways, you know, to get them to do things lah. InsyaAllah. So those are the three things lah that I didn't manage to share Kak Daraman. I thought I could share here.
Alhamdulillah.
InsyaAllah.
Thank you very much. I just nak shout out to people yang ada the comment kat sini. Dia cakap Diana, Diariana Anaki kata interesting topic. I'm facing this at the moment. Routines lah. I do have routines for them too, but selalu kena push them to follow the routines and timing. End up parents get tired. Yeah, itu memang standard lah. Nurul Laila kata parents also make mistakes. Dia kata pasangan mostly are opposites. Mostly are opposites. Tapi opposite tak apa eh. Jangan, maksudnya you have the same vision but you are opposite, but try to find the common ground lah.
Yalah.
Tidak susah juga. And also I think different vision from friends, it will be more challenging. Yeah. Some friends yang kita rapat tapi lain style parenting. So you need to seek out lah. That's why I'm embarked in this journey. Hopefully we can have like-minded people. We can continue yang
brand-brand
punya samra eh. Tapi as a parent, exhausted lah eh. I mean kita macam I don't know how you do it dulu. You manage family. Lepas tu you keluar juga. You keluar juga and then do activity kat luar. Yeah,
yeah.
So need to find the balance lah.
InsyaAllah.
Thank you Cik Abdul Aziz and also wife. Nama wife ni boleh tahu?
Zainab Abdul Rashid.
Terima kasih Puan Zainab atas perkongsian. InsyaAllah kita jumpa lagi nanti. Kalau senang-senang kita jumpa face to face and we see
InsyaAllah.
Thank you. Kita akhiri dengan tasbih kafarah.
Syukran. Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.